Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of the Dudes on Hockey podcast. We broadcast on dudesonhockey.com, and we blog on sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. And we're going to be talking today about the big thing that happens, one of my favorite days of the year, one of the most exciting days of the year in hockey land sometimes, and that's the start of free agency. So, Doug, did it live up to expectations?
Absolutely, because I expected the Sharks to do nothing.
And you found out right. So we have come to the end of an era, an end of a Sharks era. And now that we're at the end of the Nate Radden's era, what is your favorite memory of the Nate Radden's Patrick Rismiller era, dude?
Well, Mike, I have to say my favorite memory of Nate Radden's is when you pointed out to me at dinner tonight that he actually was part of the Sharks organization. I had no idea that stunning Philadelphia Flyers acquisition today was a former member of the Worcester Sharks, but it's really too bad they're breaking up that club down there because they were so good this year.
And Nate Radden was really on the top of everybody's prospect list.
And Rismiller signing for the Rangers for an undisclosed amount. I'm not sure what that means, but...
I think it means that all the numbers were to the right of the decimal place.
We're going to pay you in Broadway show tickets. Rismiller today, for that body check, you get 4 tickets to Mamma Mia.
We'll give you cab vouchers.
Who knows? I mean, what a very strange day. The whole day had some, some great signings by some teams and some complete head scratchers for sure, especially in Canada.
We'll be talking about those in a minute, but first we have to talk about the biggest deal of the day, and that's unfortunately the departure of Brian Campbell from San Jose. We heard early in the cycle that it was down to 3 teams, the Sharks, the Blackhawks, and the Thrashers, and there was a rumor that the Thrashers had offered over $8 million per season, $8.5 million per season to Brian Campbell, but he did end up signing with Chicago for $7.1 million over 8 years. So he's going to be making, until he's 35 or 36, he's going to be making $7 million a year. So, Sharks were supposedly in that deal.
It sucks, man. I mean, the Sharks, it was like Brian Campbell was like the hot redheaded chick in high school.
Right.
And
with the short skirt.
With the short skirt. And instead of dating the nerdy nice guys from Silicon Valley, she went to the hot deep dish pizza Oprah-loving people in Chicago. And it really is such... It's disappointing, but...
It's depressing, man. I mean...
If Campbell had picked Atlanta, then he'd be the new Belfour in town. There'd be soup cans being thrown on the ice. We'd be calling him Carrot Top and, fire stuff and all. I mean,
fire stuff.
Well, we're on iTunes, so, I can't say crutch.
Hey, now.
But hello. But seeing him go to Chicago, is it disappointing? Sure. I want him on the Sharks. Can I be mad at him? No. Chicago, if you hold the roster of Chicago up next to the Sharks, and I know I had this conversation last year on the blog where I said I might take Chicago's young roster over ours if I had a choice, I can't blame him. That's going to be a really good team for a lot of years, and that's a lot of money, and it's closer to home where he can, have his parents see his games or whatever the deal was with
mommy
the family
took him in at
illness,
night or...
whether you buy that or not, they'll be able to... go to Wrigley Field
you can put the stars and moons on the ceiling again and use his favorite jammies. And
I guess so. Mommy can tuck him in. But, Campbell, he had a great deal, and we're going to miss him. He's certainly going to be missed on the ice by the Sharks. And I was disappointing today to see them not be able to replace him.
Right. They didn't seem to really go after anybody. And this definitely goes to the point that we made last week and that the Sharks don't seem to get free agents. And one thing that really cuts to the heart of that is a quote that appeared in David Pollock's blog, I think was given to TSN. And what Campbell said is he says, It's unfortunate that it didn't work out there, but I don't think I would have considered them if I hadn't gone there. So to me, I thought that was a gut shot, man. I felt really, I thought that was a, I couldn't tell if that was a slap in the face at San Jose or what. And on one hand, you could say, oh, well, maybe there isn't a lot of knowledge around the league that San Jose is in fact a decent destination. And if I hadn't come to San Jose in the trade, I wouldn't have considered it. Or on the other hand, it could mean, well, I just felt a little guilty and sort of bad that they were coming after me so hard and I didn't want to sign here. So otherwise I wouldn't have considered it. Which is it? Is he just like slapping San Jose right in the face or?
No, I think all along my take on it has been is, the only way Doug Wilson can get premier players to come here is by trading for them and then selling them on the city of San Jose. Just like he was sold on the city and he stayed here and he's had his career after hockey here, and Joe Thornton was sold and Craig Revet was sold. And I think that they thought they could do the same thing with Brian Campbell with a little extra time. They could get him to stay. And for whatever reason, whether it's family reasons or just pure money, he decided to go. And that quote sums it up, and we've seen the Sharks lose out year after year on free agents. Niedermeyer, Chara, Chris Drury last year. It appears Wade Redden again today. You
again
know, after Campbell went in the toilet, you know, Wade Redden chooses the Rangers over the Sharks. According to McKenzie, it came down to the two of them, and he went to New York. And it's tough, and you love to be able to get inside their head and find out what the deal is and why they're making these decisions and what about San Jose is coming up just short, because it can't be that they're not looked at as a winning franchise, because they are, and we've got great players here. But what is it about San Jose that makes people not want to come here voluntarily?
Right. You know, I'm starting to feel a little bit more kinship with the Islanders and the Predators and the Thrashers and stuff, because it seems like those guys are having the same kind of problem, although I guess the Islanders do have, they are sort of close to New York City. But, you know, speaking of Campbell and the Hawks, you know, we got an email from Jeremy to questions@dudesonhockey.com, and he said, dudes, what were the Hawks thinking signing Huet? That's a lot of salary tied up in goaltenders, more than $11 million a season. Where is the Bulin wall going to end up? And while the Blackhawks maybe made a great deal in signing Brian Campbell, they seemed to make a pretty bonehead deal in signing Cristobal Huet that they got from the Capitals, when they already have a starting goaltender in Nikolai Habibulin. So now they're paying both of these guys over $5 million a year. And I personally have to think they're trying to shop Habibulin. I mean, they gave Huet this big contract. You wouldn't give a guy $5 million to sit on the bench for 50 games. So I have to think they're going to buy out Habibulin, although
they can't. I mean, that window's come and gone. I think the buyout period is over.
Is it?
I think you have to do it before unrestricted free agency, because then they have the opportunity to be unrestricted. I mean, that's what I think. I'm not sure. We have to check that out. But I think Bulin's got some trade value. I think there's some teams out there, like Tampa Bay is so bizarre, and who knows what they're doing, and they might want a homecoming with Habibulin. Ottawa has a lot of goaltending problems. I mean, Alex Auld isn't going to save the team. You know, another strange day in Ottawa where they weren't able to come up with anybody good either. And to lose out on Huey and Theodore today for Ottawa was a big strikeout. And
much talent on that team, without a decent goaltender, Ottawa's got to be, I mean, Brian Murray's got to be scrambling, because you can't be paying as much money as he's paying to Heatley and Spezza and Alfredson and all those guys, and they lose Redden today. They still got some good defensemen in Mazaros and others, and now they got the biggest, most important hole in goaltending. That I would think that Habibulin would be a pretty natural fit there.
And they've got the cap room. It could happen. We could see that happen. So that might be the answer there, Jeremy, is if I had to take a guess, Habibulin's going to be traded, and I'm going to guess it's still Ottawa. That's my guess.
Yeah, it's a good guess. Okay, so let's talk about what the Sharks did do or didn't do. We talked about Campbell. We briefly mentioned the fact that Rissmiller is gone to the New York Rangers. Curtis Brown is not coming back, along with Ozolinch and Semenov. So if we look at the Sharks roster, and it's by no means finalized, there's a lot of time left in free agency. There's a lot of opportunity to sign other guys. There's plenty of other guys still available, are as yet unsigned. But the question is, what do the Sharks do now?
Well, there are some players out there that we both really like. And, you know, we both love Jason Smith. We love Brooks Orpik. Orpik's born in the Bay Area. I'm not sure how much time he actually spent here as a young man, but that'd be a great story. And maybe he has family back here. We don't know that. You know, Brett Hedekin has been mentioned as a possibility, as somebody, you know, who's moving back to Northern California. He says if he's going to play hockey, it's going to be in Northern California. As far as I know, there's only one option there. So, you know,
unless Hedekin, they bring the Seals back.
Hedekin, 1 year deal in San Jose is a decent stopgap. He's still a good player. He's not going to make the Sharks any tougher, but is he going to help on the power play? Sure. It's not going to be the same type of player as Brian Campbell, but if you could get Orpik and Hedekin, now we're talking improvement. Now, but then you have the same. Now you're looking at a roster. Now, what do you do with McLaren? What do you do with Murray? What do you do with Ehrhoff? Are you just going to let him go? I mean, you've tendered him an offer, so you're on the hook for a 1 year deal with him. So what happens? I don't know. I think the Sharks are far from done, and we've expressed the need for an agitator. It needs to be a center, I think. I think that's why Darcy Tucker was a very natural and logical fit. Mike, do you think Sean Avery could be that fit?
I think Tucker is a much better choice than Avery. I think Avery is more expensive. I think Avery has shown a propensity to be a jackass in places that he doesn't like. He obviously, you know, there was that, you know, infamous situation where he completely slagged the Kings in Los Angeles when he was still on the team. I mean, he basically tore that locker room apart and created a huge problem with management. And I would be so afraid of that kind of thing happening. Even if the Sharks go out and spend the $4 million that he, you know, supposedly wants, what's to say in a year he's not going to say, oh, you know, I hate Man Jose and you jokers and your computers and, you know, whatever, and your great weather. Well, screw you. I want to go back to someplace where it's, you know, 80% humidity and 80 degrees all summer.
I want to go work for Vogue.
Yeah. I want to. You can't intern at Wired Magazine, baby.
Well, the rumor mill, which we all talk about, last year had, you know, Wilson trying to get Avery in town at the deadline, was offering up Bernier, if you believe the New York Post. Maybe Wilson is having those discussions. At $4 million, I'm not interested. At $2.5 or $3 million, I'm interested. And I think that, you know, the Sharks, you know, known, we call them the night, or I call them the nicest team in town, that even with Jody Shelley, and they've got some players that have a little bit of edge to them, but the Sharks still get pushed around. We saw that in the Calgary series. Sean Avery, you know, even though he's got a rep for maybe not fighting as much as he should, he's a royal pain in the ass. And here's another question that we heard on TSN that was not answered. Darren Dreger said Owen Nolan's got an offer out there for 2 years, $5 million. Do you think that could be the Sharks?
I don't even know. I don't think so. I don't think so. I hope it is in a way, because I think he would fill that role that we need. I'm not sure if Doug Wilson shares our enthusiasm for that type of player. Maybe he thought that Jody Shelley is filling that role. But when we see a guy like Sean Avery linked to the Dallas Stars, who already have a guy like Steve Ott and a guy like Brandon Morrow, both of which can stir it up. I mean, can you imagine playing against those?
I just threw up in my mouth, Mike. But we also heard talking about Sean Avery in Calgary. Oh my God, it just makes me want to cry. That would be terrible.
And
the only thing that would be worse is Sean Avery on the Ducks, which...
That's not going to happen.
Well, it'd be pretty funny, actually. Pronger and Avery fighting themselves on the ice. But well, I don't know. I would be interested, and I would at least be curious to see if Avery was interested at all, if I was Doug Wilson, and I'd want to have the conversation, because the Sharks are definitely missing that edge, and I think it would help raise the level of play for some of the players on the team.
So let's quickly talk about another interesting prospect, a guy that I definitely love. He's one of my very favorite defensemen in the National Hockey League right now, and a guy that, for reasons completely unknown to me, is supposedly being shopped, and that's Dan Boyle on the Tampa Bay Lightning. And, you know, for me, I think he's an upgrade over Brian Campbell. And so if I were Doug Wilson, I would be throwing every possible deal I could imagine at the Lightning. You know, what do you want, and how can I give it to you? Because this is a guy that's locked up for the next 5 years, and he's a team. He's a guy that you can build a team around, and I would love to see him on the Sharks. So, you know,
first of all, Mike, I just want you to know that you said Doug Wilson should say to Tampa Bay, "What do you want, and how could I give it to you?" I just want to point out that that was, I think, right, kind of inappropriate
with the new owners and Barry Melrose. I think that might just fit the bill.
I would offer anything. You know, Tampa Bay has a lot of holes in their roster. They don't have a lot of centers. You know, do you turn around after you just signed Pavelski and ship him off to Tampa? Torrey Mitchell, I covet more than Pavelski. But, you know, Pavelski and Matt Carl, is that enough? And a first-round pick? Mahalik, I don't think they'd be interested in another winger. Cheech. I mean, I'd be open. I'd show them my roster. I'd fax them the roster, cross off Joe and Marlowe's name, and say, who do you want?
Right.
You know, and we'll make it happen, because the Sharks are in a bad spot right now. They do not have a power play quarterback, and I don't think we're ready to give Carl the keys to the car. What about the Zidlicky deal today? How was Doug Wilson not in on that with such a low price?
I think that Wilson maybe was hoping or praying or a little of both that he was going to be in on either Redden or Campbell, and that his chance of getting one of those guys was pretty good, and he ended up striking out on both. And so we see Marek Zidlicky go to the Wild for a prospect that I don't know and a pick, and for a pretty reasonable salary. He's got $3.5 million. I think it just happened at the wrong time during the day. It happened early in the day before Campbell and Redden were gone. And I think I hope that the Sharks would have wanted in on that deal, because he's a player that ain't bad, but you know, he went to the Wild for a song.
For the price, second round pick, and you know, they're the Wild's 11th rated prospect by hockeyprospects.com, which is for us, Lucas Kaspar, who has done jack nothing at the AHL level. If the price was Kaspar and a second rounder, to me, no brainer. You do it. But that might not have been on the table at the time Doug Wilson was on the phone with Nashville, if he ever was, and he might have been too busy trying to hope that Brian Campbell was going to come back. So we'll never really know the true answer behind that.
But that's an instance of a pretty good deal. So the thing is that a lot of people talk about winners and losers on draft day. So let's follow the herd. Winners. It's funny, it's a team that didn't actually sign any real free agents last couple of days, but it's a team that made a lot of good deals, and that's the Oilers. They traded for Lubomir Vyshnovsky from the Kings. They traded for Eric Cole from the Canes. They traded for Gilbert Brulé from the Blue Jackets. I think they made all three of those deals were in their favor, and I think the Oilers got a hell of a lot better.
Absolutely, and they seem to be right in the middle of Hossa, so we'll have to wait and see next week if they got Hossa. For me, the Devils are my team that's the winner. They kept a lot of their own free agents, Salvador, Pandolfo. They add Brian Ralston to the family, they bring back Bobby Holík at 1 year, $2.5 million. That's a pretty good price for Holík, and I think the Devils got better, and I'm not sure that they're done.
And I think people forgot about Brian Ralston with Hossa, and I think Brian Ralston was he got $5 million, which sounds like a lot of money, but compared to what Hossa's probably going to get, that's going to be a steal, and Ralston could end up being just as valuable, if not as gaudy on the stat sheet. So, well, let's talk about the losers. I think my worst deal and my losing team are the same, and that's the Toronto Maple Leafs. They made two deals that made no freaking sense at all. If I was a Leafs fan, I'd want the return of John Ferguson Jr. They signed Jeff Finger to $3.5 million a year. He's played 94 career NHL games as a 28-year-old defenseman, and they signed Nicholas Hagman, who had one decent season last year with the Stars, for $3 million a year. I mean, both those deals make no sense. In a team that's made bad deals in the past for too long of term, they make two more of these deals. I don't know what the heck is going on up there.
I heard Ron Wilson came to San Jose today and apologized to Patrick Marleau to see if he could get his job back. He feels so terrible. I mean, those are terrible deals, and what a bizarre opening free agent day by the Alzheimer's GM, and we're just gonna have to see what happens. I don't think they're done and doing a bunch of weird stuff. And if you look at their roster online, it's hilarious.
It's laugh out loud funny.
It's so strange, and I don't think they're even done with making it bizarre. Vancouver's my loser today. They blew it on the offer sheet, and they also offered Sundin the farm, and Sundin didn't bite. 2 years, $20 million. You don't take it. If you got to say, I got to think about it. He's not coming, and we'll see if I'm right next week. But Vancouver missed out on a lot of things today by going after Sundin. Held their breath, and I think they lost.
They came up short. So we already talked about my worst deal, Jeff Finger. That's a deal that doesn't make any sense. My best deal was the Darcy Tucker deal to the Avalanche. You got less than $2.5 million per year for 2 years. Why the Sharks didn't make that a better deal, make that more worth Tucker's while, I have no idea. And I think that's a great pick for the Avalanche, a team that I think is really in flux with Theodore leaving. But, you know, Tucker's getting paid. He's getting paid from the Leafs. He's getting paid. And the Avalanche get a guy on a team that's a pretty nice team with Sakic and others. So it's a good deal for the Avalanche.
It makes them even better. My worst deal of the day is Huey to Chicago. Terrible signing. And Washington really did a nice job of jumping off that ship and getting Theodore at a decent price at 4.5. And my best signing player, Brad Stewart, staying in Detroit. I think that was a smart move by Brad Stewart instead of, you know, shopping around and maybe taking the deal that Commodore got to go to Columbus. Instead, he got a little less money, and, you know, he's probably going to win another Stanley Cup sometime in those 4 years in Detroit. So good for you, Brad.
Yeah, I'm glad you're not on the Kings, because I know the Kings might have wanted him back, and playing against that guy 6 times next year would have been a real pain in the ass, and they could have really used him too with all the young D that they got. So we'll be talking about the Kings again, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. But first, why don't we talk about some of the comments that we got. We talked about Jeremy's email that we got, and we encourage you all to send us questions at questions@dudesonhockey.com. But let's look at the comment thread of the first podcast. And we got a lot of nice praise, so thank you all for that. Appreciate the nice words, and we'll try to keep improving. And one guy named Squid says, "Well done, guys. Seriously, I've listened to Garner and Freitas do their podcast and wanted to tear my closely cropped hair out piece by piece. Sounds like you guys actually have real microphones and also conveniently know how to have a conversation." Well, that was nice to say. Nice little shot at Garner. And yes, I actually am a microphone aficionado. So feel free to email us if you want to know what kind of gear we're using. But yeah, Garner and Freitas use this. They use some sort of online thing which streams all the microphone crap over the web. And it just sounds like you're talking in a tin can. And they take a lot of calls and stuff. And that they use a different format than us. But I know Doug is, you know, he's real tight with Ryan Garner. Him and Garner were chatting online today. You want to tell the listeners about your nice Hockey Buzz chat with Ryan Garner?
Well, I like to call him Chicken Little because the sky is always falling with Ryan Garner. And he made a statement today that just really pissed me off where he said, "Doug Wilson is driving this team into the ground." And I couldn't disagree with him more. You know, Wilson's done a lot to spare the franchise from losing players like Joe Thornton. I mean, Joe Thornton today, he would have got $10 million today. Someone, Vancouver would have been out there, you know, pulling their pants down and throwing money at Joe Thornton like crazy today. Columbus would have done the same thing. Patrick Marleau would have been gone. And instead, we've got these guys locked up for a couple more years at $6 and $7 million. When you look at them compared to other players, you know, these are really good deals. And I think to say Doug Wilson's running this team to the ground is completely unfair and totally off base. And to say that he's not trying to make free agent acquisitions is also, I think, wrong. And I'm not sure, you know, he says he's got information and 100% facts. And you know, unfortunately, he did turn out to be correct today that the Sharks didn't make any acquisitions. But I don't think it's because of lack of trying. I think it's because of Brian Campbell's quote where he said, "Hey, if I hadn't been here, I wouldn't even considered it." And for a lot of these guys, they're not here. They don't give us a serious look.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of other teams in the National Hockey League and teams like the Rangers and the Devils and the Maple Leafs and the Canadiens. They get a lot of advantages with free agents on that score. So there's one other comment I do want to address. A SoCal Sharks girl commented on the blog. She said, the gist of her comment is, I don't know why you guys are so upset about. You guys are having the same team as last year. I wrote a blog post about that. They won the Pacific Division for the first time. They made it through the second round of the playoffs, getting knocked out in the third consecutive time. Could be attributed to coaching. And to be honest, I think that this is a team that's built to go further than that. And I think that this is a team that has a great mix, or at least some sort of good mix, of veterans and young players. And I think coaching could be partially attributed. I don't know the right mix of players and coaching and all this kind of stuff, because if I knew, then I'd be making a couple million dollars coaching in the National Hockey League, or at least being a assistant general manager. But the fact is that a good, you know, having a good regular season team is not enough, and no one really cares about that. The President's Trophy winner generally doesn't win the Stanley Cup. The Wings proved us wrong this year. But the Sharks just need to be better in the postseason. Maybe they need to stop worrying about how they play in March and start worrying about how they're playing in April and May.
Yeah, I guess my answer would be is I'll be really disappointed if it's the same team, because it's just not good enough. It's not good enough. And the player that pushed us over the edge last year, that pushed us into the Pacific Division title, that made this team an exciting team to watch in the last third of the season, he's in Chicago. And we haven't replaced him. So for me, the Sharks aren't tough enough. They're missing a power play quarterback. And if we're just going to be stubborn and stick with the same roster, we're in for a frustrating year for fans who think the Sharks should be going further.
But it ain't over yet. And there's a lot of free agency left, and we'll be talking about that in the upcoming weeks. Thanks for listening, everybody. And I hope you'll check us out at the blog, sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. And I hope you'll send us your questions to our email. And thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you all next week.
See you later.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.